From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. Governor Joe Lombardo introduced the Housing Access and Attainability Act that he says will increase availability of homes and generate about $4 for every $1 invested. This comes at a time when the median price of a home in Nevada is at the record of $485,000. It's also at a time when the rate of evictions in Las Vegas is around 13%. For a primer on the bill and how it's being sold to lawmakers and what lawmakers think about it, Lucia Starbuck is a politics reporter for our sister station, KUNR in Reno. Lucia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Briefly, what does Governor Lombardo's bill do?
So it's pretty wide-ranging. He's asking for $200 million from the state, and he says he'll get an additional $50 million from the Nevada Housing Division. And that money can go to state, local, and tribal governments, nonprofits, housing authorities, and even private entities like landlords. And the money can be used for a wide range of things, too. Rental assistance, mortgage help, eviction help, programs that help essential workers buy homes. And the bill specifically mentions, like, teachers, construction workers, and it also kind of changes who can get affordable housing, so up to 150% the area median income. And then it also tries to ease, like, workforce housing shortages in rural Nevada. So if you're in rural Nevada, developers could maybe get could waive some of their fees to start building. Out-of-state developers can build in Nevada. Lots of things to try to build more housing and to help keep people homed.
Sure. Now, you say affordable, but the bill is not labeled affordable. It's attainable. Does that mean they aren't putting value on how much developers can charge for these homes?
So the governor is proposing to change the word affordable to attainable. And kind of what I mentioned, it's kind of expanding who can access these programs or these homes. So he wants to make it from the 120 to 150% area median income, which is about $77,000 per year per person.
I've read an estimated number of people in Nevada that this might benefit, 16,000 people, but nowhere does it say how many homes it would result in. Does anybody give that estimate?
That's what the governor said himself, that 16,000 people. And so it'll kind of go to this council that will get to decide where this money goes. So like I said, it's pretty wide ranging. It just kind of sets aside this pot of money, which can go to all these different types of things.
Okay, so this bill has been around since the early part of this month. Who supports it and what do they think about it?
There is a lot of support. I think all lawmakers on both sides of the aisle agree on some of the issues of needing more housing, of needing attainable housing, of needing eviction help, mortgage help, helping people go from renter to homeowner. What really is the sticking point is the governor proposed to, if you receive this money from the state, you will not have to pay the prevailing wage. And Democrats had like a really big issue with this.
What about the opponents? Are they sticking to the prevailing wage? And what do they say if that prevailing wage, which is basically union wage, let's just put it that way, what do they say that would do to the price of these homes?
It's not the price of the homes. I think Democrats are worried about like how much construction workers will get paid. And then they're also worried with that allowing out-of-state developers, you know, maybe there's rural places near the Utah or Idaho border where they need that help building homes there. Like, are you going to then, you know, pay people less in Nevada or just give it to out-of-state developers who aren't going to pay that prevailing wage?
One person did testify that this could add $94,000 onto the price of a home. Is that a big worry for proponents?
I think there's a lot of concern the timing of this bill, like what are tariffs going to do to the construction of home prices? And then is the state even able to give away all this money right now with maybe potential federal cuts coming down the road?
You know, as you alluded to, the bill would create the first of its kind Nevada Attainable Housing Council. What will they do?
So it's made up of different experts, like people who are familiar with development, people familiar with renting, and they will essentially get together and decide where and who this money will go to.
And the governor has said, and this goes back to budgetary concerns, that $250 million over 2 years would generate more than $1 billion in new workforce and attainable housing projects. Do you know how they calculated that?
I am not sure how they calculated that. I think he's kind of expecting this money to stretch really far over the next couple of years if it gets approved.
So this bill would address housing shortages in rural areas. Talk a little bit more about how that would happen.
So it would allow a rural area to declare like a kind of like a, almost like a state of emergency if there's a like workforce shortage. So then during that declaration, developers could waive fees like different licensing fees so they can work maybe a bit cheaper. And then it would also allow out-of-state developers to also work in Nevada. So that's where that question came up. Like if there are rural communities near the Utah or Idaho border that can't get workforce out there, they can maybe pull from different states nearby.
You know, a lot of Nevada's housing debate focuses on land availability. There was a 2022 applied analysis study that projected the state could run out of land for new homes by 2032. That's in 7 years. But a more recent report from the Regional Transportation Commission of Southern Nevada says Las Vegas has more than 80,000 acres available for development within existing boundaries. Based on your reporting, does Governor Joe Lombardo's administration align more with the view that Nevada needs to expand its developable land, or does some of this bill pertain to some of that land that's already within borders?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's not just the governor. I mean, it's almost all levels of government. City, county, our federal representatives are all asking for more federal land. That's a lot where the narrative is right now, that they want more federal land to develop on. That's kind of, it's almost like almost everyone is in agreement on that. Lawmakers even just passed a resolution to urge Congress to get more federal land. So that's like a lot of the conversation.
Does the bill anywhere mention infill development?
No, and I don't see that talked about a lot, so I found that study super interesting, too.
Now, the Democrats control both houses. They have the Assembly, they have the Senate, the governor's a Republican. They could pass this, or they could say no to it, and then that doesn't give him a chance, or there could be something that the governor wants that Democrats don't want that they make a deal over. So, first question, what's the likelihood of this bill passing?
So it's one of the governor's five bills, so it's going to pass in some way. It hasn't gotten that second hearing yet to get passed out of committee, so I expect it to change a little bit. But yeah, there's going to be some huge bargaining process going into place with what the governor wants, and then the Democrats also have their own housing bills that they're trying to pass too.
In the Democrats' housing bill, give me just a rough outline of where it's different than this.
So there are a couple there. Democratic lawmakers are looking to pass rent control for seniors. So there's a bill that would limit limit that rent cannot be increased by 5% over a mm-hmm. 1 year lease for people over 62 or on Social Security benefits. That was vetoed by the governor last time, but yep. Democratic lawmakers are bringing it back. Similarly, lawmakers are also bringing back a bill to cap the amount of to cap how many units big corporations can buy to 100 units per year. That was again vetoed by the governor last year, and Democrats are bringing it back again.
If you had to bet, would you say those are good bargaining chips on behalf of Democrats if the governor wants to get his bill passed?
Ooh, I don't envy those negotiations, but it's definitely going to have to, I mean, they're bringing it back again. They're not standing down. But there is there's a lot of pushback against the rent control. And then for the out-of-state corporations, during Lombardo's State of the State in January, he did say that we need to prioritize buildable land in Nevada and not out-of-state investors looking to cash in. So Democrats are saying, well, we're going to bring our bill back again. It looks like we agree on those same issues about these big out-of-state developers.
So you talk about out-of-state developers. So that's what I'm wondering is, out of state or in state, does the Democratic bill, the Democratic idea, just relate to corporate entities in general, no matter where they're from, that they could only purchase 100 or fewer units?
Yeah, they're looking at large corporations in general, and that specific bill even mentions that these corporations need to like register with the state.
And about these other housing-related bills in the legislature, you mentioned a couple of them. There are five or six more. Which ones do you see right now getting, I would say, like the most traction?
Democrats are definitely pushing those two. There was another one that was interesting that would create like a pilot program for a buy-down interest rate kind of situation. And that's something that Lombardo also mentioned in his bill. So there's kind of some crossover with some similar ideas. Another bill I was following that ultimately died would have allowed tenants to report their positive rent payments to a credit agency, which could boost their credit score. That bill died, but it is listed in the governor's big housing bill. So there's definitely some similar ideas.
You know, and again, people are renting more than buying right now. And is there a bill anywhere out there looking to help renters qualify for homes? Or is that kind of what the governor's housing bill intends to do?
So that mortgage down payment one, I think, could definitely help people maybe get to that next step. Then there's just a couple like ones to protect renters in general. Like you can't, if you're doing a background check, if you're charging for a background check for the application, you can't charge a minor. If you do end up renting to someone else, you would have to maybe pay back the person who applied and didn't get the unit. So there's some ways to also just protect renters in general, too.
You know, last session, the governor vetoed a record number of bills for a governor in the state. And he said he would continue to hold the line on bills he's vetoed before. But you hinted that it might be different this time.
I don't have a crystal ball, but when you ask Democrats, you're kind of like, what's different? And it doesn't feel super different, but you see the Democrats just say like, well, we still have to try to pass these bills.
Yeah.
So with like just, you know, a little over a month left, I think there's going to be some huge negotiations happening and to really see and to see if Lombardo keeps his word if he strikes down those similar bills again, because a lot of those types of things are heading back to his desk this session.
Lucia Starbuck is the politics reporter for sister public radio station KUNR in Reno. Lucia, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is State of Nevada. That's a wrap for this edition of KNPR's State of Nevada. I'm your host, Joe Shaneman. This program is produced by Nevada Public Radio. And if you value conversations like these, taking a closer look at issues that matter most to you, consider supporting us. You can find out how at knpr.org. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky for the latest news and updates. You can also send us an email at knpr.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.